Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, today is President's Day. First recognized in 1971. Government offices are closed, along with the U.S. Post Office, so don't expect any mail delivery. Many banks and many schools are also closed. But we are here still working, and we're glad to be with you today on Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, host of this program, and today I'm going to be joined by Pastor Isaac Crockett, pastor of Hamburg Bible Church, and a special and recurring guest, Bill Koenig, 18-year White House correspondent who's been there under many presidents. He's also the founder and CEO of World Watch Daily. And to properly reflect on President's Day, in just a moment, I'm going to play a short clip of one of our most special presidents who speaks to perhaps, in my opinion, one of the greatest needs of our country, and that is prayer. You don't want to miss these few moments and thoughts from a very beloved president, and I'll tell you who it is. It's President Reagan. But before I play that clip here today, I want to lay out the roadmap for the balance of today's very informative program. You know, today is February 19th. You say, big deal. So what? Well, it's 2 months away from an historical date, perhaps the most historical date of infamy for the United States, for Israel, and for Israel's enemies. And that falls on this April 19th date, and it really extends into the 20th and the 21st. Now, that's 2 months from today. Our special guest, Bill Koenig, has written just something. I want to quote just a little bit from it to set this up. He said, quote, I watch annually the April 19th to 20th news in line with the pattern of major historical U.S. events and wars that have set the tone for the rest of the year, which I share, he says, in a weekly news report every April and will again this year, end quote. So we're going to talk to him about the significance of this time just 2 months from now. Our general theme for the balance of today's program is this. It starts 2 months from today. Historical days of infamy, days past. We're going to talk about days of significance now, and we're going to conclude with days of prophetical fulfillment, future. All these pieces work together. You don't want to miss the program today as we take the newspaper in one hand, the Bible in the other, and we connect the dots, making sense out of nonsense here on Stand in the Gap Today. As I said, this is President's Day, so I thought I'd play a favorite clip from former President Ronald Reagan as he shares thoughts about our country, God, and prayer. And in these days of division and unrest, ladies and gentlemen, let the balm of healing refresh your hearts as we listen now to former President Reagan, man of faith, saying what every Christian and true patriot longs to hear from our presidents and all of our elected officials. Rush, we play that, please.
Someone asked me whether I was aware of all the people out there who were praying for the president. And I had to say, yes, I am. I felt it. I believe in intercessionary prayer. But I couldn't help but say to that questioner after, sometimes when he was praying, he got a busy signal. It was just me in there ahead of him. I think I understand how Abraham Lincoln felt when he said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Now, I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the Founding Fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny. I've said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. I think the real question we must answer is, are we on His side? No matter where we live, we have a promise that can make all the difference. a promise from Jesus to soothe our sorrows, heal our hearts, and drive away our fears. He promised there will never be a dark night that does not end. Our weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He promised if our hearts are true, His love will be as sure as sunlight. And by dying for us, Jesus showed how far our love should be ready to go. All the way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all praise Him. Americans yearn to explore life's deepest truths, and to say their entertainment, or their idea of entertainment, is sex and violence and crime is an insult to their goodness and intelligence. We are people who believe love can triumph over hate, creativity over destruction, and hope over despair. And that's why so many millions hunger for God's good news. I've always believed that each of us put here for a reason, that there is a plan, somehow a divine plan for all of us. I know now that whatever days are left to me belong to Him. I also believe this blessed land was set apart in a very special way. Our forebears came not for gold, but mainly in search of God and the freedom to worship in their own way. We've been a free people living under the law with faith in our Maker and in our future. I've said before that the most sublime picture in American history is of George Washington on his knees in the snow at Valley Forge. That image personifies a people who know that it's not enough to depend on our own courage and goodness. We must also seek help from God, our Father and Preserver. We'll never find every answer, solve every problem, or heal every wound, but we can do a lot if we walk together down that one path that we know provides real hope. The morality and values such faith implies are deeply embedded in our national character. Our country embraces those principles by design, and we abandon them at our peril. My experience in this office I hold has only deepened a belief I've held for many years. Within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we'd only read and believe.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Ronald Reagan from some years ago, a collection of clips put together on his emphasis on prayer, God, our nation. And I thought, how much more appropriate could we do in honoring to presidents on President's Day than to play that clip, which concluded with the president talking about seeing George Washington on his knees at Valley Forge. I have that picture on my wall, and I look to it every day. Wouldn't it make a difference, ladies and gentlemen, if all of those in office were to refer to God and go to God in prayer, as President Reagan so alluded? There's healing in that. I hope you felt encouraged by it. And as we think of President's Day, think about the presidents who really stood for the Lord. What a difference compared to those who fight against Him. That's why we need to pray for those in authority. When we come back, we're going to go right to our next theme, Days of Infamy Past.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
but I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, the biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, today is February the 19th. It's President's Day, of course, and all listening to this program are aware of that. Yet today marks an anniversary date of perhaps the most infamous day in history as it relates to the United States, Israel, and Israel's enemies. That date is April the 19th, and it extends through April the 21st. Very infamous people were born on this day, and infamous events occurred on this day. As Bill Koenig, founder and CEO of World Watch Daily, 18-year White House correspondent, historian, and Bible scholar, said, quote, "I watch annually the April 19th to 20th news in line with the pattern of major historical U.S. events and wars that have set the tone for the rest of the year," he said, and he reports that in a report that he does every April. Well, to learn about these days of infamy past, the players, the events, and the dates, I want to welcome in right now Bill Koenig, White House correspondent, Middle East expert, and student of biblical prophecy. Bill, welcome to the program, and so glad you can be with us on this very important day.
Thank you so much, Sam. Always a pleasure being with you.
We have a whole lot more to go over than what we have time to, so I'm going to get right into it, because this whole idea of April 19th being a key day, Bill, is because you brought to my attention. I really wasn't aware of it, and probably most of our listeners aren't either. But we emphasize on this program, as you know, a lot about Israel because God speaks a lot about Israel. We emphasize the truth because God is truth, and we believe we can never emphasize Him or truth too much. We emphasize that man has a clock and geopolitical events guide and they go certain directions, but until we lay them down on top of God's clock, it doesn't really make too much sense. So in that context, I want to look at this date, February 19th, and why you are calling it a day of infamy. Who were just a few of the people born on this day, and what would qualify this as a day of infamy in your mind, Bill?
Well, I watch patterns, Sam, as you know. In my book, Eye to Eye, I document patterns of what happens in the United States or even in Europe, but mostly the United States, when we apply pressure on Israel to give up their covenant land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I obviously watch patterns like you, Sam. We watch news. We watch trends. We see things take place. We follow, as the Holy Spirit leads us, we follow trails. He reveals things to us. And a friend of mine, Eric Hadik, he and I spoke in 2006. He'd followed some of our work, and he shared with me some of the things that had happened in history on this April 19th, 20th date. And Eric has inside track. Eric Hadik had an inside track. And what was so fascinating about this work, Sam, is he'd noticed that there was very significant things that had to do with the nation of Israel, the fact that a lot of our major wars were consummated or ended in that April period throughout history, throughout the month of April. But for the sake of Israel, the fact that three significant events took place is, one, the Roman Empire was established on April 21st. The fact that Muhammad and Hitler were both born on the same day. Muhammad was born on April 20th, 571 A.D., and Hitler was born on April 20, 1989. So you have the Roman Empire, which was very hard in Israel, and the Jewish people especially, is the Jewish people. And then Muhammad, and then obviously Hitler. I mean, these are three very significant points in history, all right around that 1920-21 area of time. And to be quite honest, not honest necessarily, but I mean, to be more specific, every April, I've been following this since 2006, one of the major news items for the month of April is the nation of Israel and also Iran. And it's been incredible to follow every year. And to be quite, to be even more accurate, Iran has been even greater news in Israel the last 12 Aprils.
Bill, that's so interesting as you just, you know, put those things out there on our calendar as we're just 2 months away from that kind of hot spot that you're talking about. Now, not only do you have these dates that mark the birth of some of these great, I guess you could say, enemies of Israel, the Roman Empire, then Muhammad, and then, you know, 1889 Hitler being born. You've mentioned already that there are other key events that kind of come in this window, this time, and as a historian that documents these patterns. Could you maybe share with us today some of these key events that, you know, just some of the top events that maybe have happened, maybe even infamous events on this April 19th, 20th, and 21st window?
Yes. Well, here in the United States, the start of the Revolutionary War was April 19, 1775. Battle of San Jacinto, Texas Revolution, was April 19th through 21, 1836. Start of the Mexican-American War was in April 25th, a few days after that period. Then we had FDR, President FDR, announced the U.S. will leave the gold standard on April 19, 1933. We had the Bay of Pigs invasion in April 17 through 19 in 1961. And then the Operation Praying Mantis was actually April 18. It was an attack. It was an attack on U.S. naval forces in retaliation for the Iranian mining of the Persian Gulf and the subsequent damage to U.S. ships. So, you know, that's the U.S. component. And what's interesting is this year, on the Jewish calendar, Israel will be having their 70th year celebration of their statehood. They were became a state in May 14, 1948, but on a Jewish calendar. This year, the celebration will be for a 70-hour period from April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Obviously, this is of great interest to us because of all the tension that we've seen in the last couple of weeks with Israel and Iran and Syria, Russia. It is becoming very intense at this time. So will this fit this pattern? I don't know. But I am very, very sure that April, once again, much of the world focus will be on the nation of Iran and what they are doing leading up to this. I mean, it's already starting, but I think it'll be intensified in April based on the last 11, 12 years.
Bill, we were talking off air before we went on the program and talking about looking at the history, the clock of time. You know, one of the things we often hear is that the one thing that people don't learn from history is we don't learn from history. We don't do a lot. We don't do enough of looking back. And in this segment, we're focusing on days of infamy past. So in thinking back of these things, this is a general sense. As an historian, as someone involved in prophecy and preaching like you do, what is, I mean, the principle of looking back and considering things which have occurred before? Kind of put that in the context of why that process of what we're doing right now, looking back before we begin looking ahead, is so important.
Absolutely. You know, that's history. I think history reveals so much. You know, nothing new under the sun is, you know, mentioned in Ecclesiastes. I think the same thing with history. History develops. There's patterns within history. And what's interesting is this Day of Infamy has had so much to do with this, the Jewish people and the state of Israel. As well as here in the United States, two God-fearing nations with many God-fearing people within both those nations. And the pattern, I think when you start seeing the pattern over and over again, you know, once or twice, that's one thing. But when you start seeing this over and over again, it establishes a pattern. It gives us what to watch now and possibly into the future. And I think so more so now, because especially with the situation in since 2006 with Iran, I mean, it's been the dominant news of the world, of a big world, for all those years. And then In my report that I put out, my weekly news report that I put out every Friday last week, I identified the major prophetic news of April 16 through 22 in 2016, and then I also did the major news 26 to 29 with some additional details, and then I did the same thing again in April 2017. But from April 3 to April 14, it was amazing news. You know, sometimes we have news that is significant at the moment. Sometimes we have weeks that have a whole year's worth of significant news in a week, and that's the way it was last in 2017, April 3rd through 14. I mean, it was just amazing. It had to do with Egypt, had to do with Jordan, Putin rebuking Netanyahu over groundless accusations in Syria. President of China visits Trump at Mar-a-Lago as we're sending 59 Tomahawk missiles into Syria. And so for that period, 3 through 14, it was just incredible. And then beyond that, for the rest of that month, Sam, was significant. So when you look at the headlines, which I did, I showed in 2016 and 2017, you go, my gosh, this is a year's worth of news in a couple weeks. This is a year's worth of news in a couple days. So that speaks for itself. And that's what I look at the past for the pattern, and I watch daily, weekly, monthly, and every year based on past historical patterns.
As this relates to Israel, Bill, and so forth, the period of end of March into April is actually the month of Nisan, right? That's the
right.
First month of the Jewish calendar. Does that play into any significance as we look back in the Jewish mind?
I believe so. I believe so. And another thing, too, which is very significant about that time frame, is the March 21st, the beginning of spring, seems to start to be the catalyst that works its way into April 20, April 21st. So, yes, definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, and Isaac Crockett with me today, and our special guest, Bill Koenig. He is the founder of World Watch Daily, White House correspondent of 18 years. His website at watch.org, and I'd encourage you to go there. When we come back, we're going to continue on and looking at this special day, February 19th. It's 2 months off. We're actually looking ahead to April 19th. We're going to now move into the days of infamy and the now aspect of what's significant.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
If you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap today, we want to thank you for taking time from your busy schedule here on President's Day, ladies and gentlemen, and for being with us. We, at this point in time, always like to thank you and to remind you that if you have not done so already, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com. You can pick up the archives to this program, all of the programs. A lot of the programs are broken out into smaller podcasts, little smaller bite-sized pieces based on certain themes that you can pick up and you can listen to. And if you have not downloaded our free app onto your smartphone, Android or iPhone, I encourage you to do that. Go to your app store, put in the phrase Stand in the Gap, download that, and then you can listen to this program or any of our programs in archive form. You can search for information there. You can communicate to us. We can communicate to you and give you alerts when things are happening. Always a very valuable item. And you can join with us in financial partnering, which is very, very important for us as a ministry, that you can be a part of it and help to spread the truth across the country. If you like what you hear, then I'd ask you just to come alongside, even a small amount per month. If a lot of people do that, our needs would be met, and the voice of truth would be able to be expanded even more greatly than it is. So I just leave that with you right now and ask you to pray about it and think about that. Now, our theme here for today, we're talking about, it starts 2 months from today, historical days of infamy. That period of time, April 19th through the 21st. And in the last segment, we looked with our special guest, Bill Koenig, at days of infamy past. So we're going to go now to days of infamy present. Or actually, I'm going to change it and say days of significance now. Look past, we're going to look now, and then in the end, we're going to go to the future. You know, the fact that the Roman Empire, as birthed by Romulus, Mohammedan Islam, as birthed by Mohammed, and as Nazism was birthed by Hitler, all in that April 2021 time frame in their respective years, is significant on its own. The fact that Israel faced the Great Arab Revolt of April 19, 1936, that the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising began April 19, 1943, can only be outdone perhaps by the fact that Israel's 70th anniversary celebration will be observed in just 2 months in this same time frame, April 19, 2021. But what's the significance of the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel? What does Israel have planned for this observance? Does it make any difference to the enemies of Israel? We'll discuss these important questions, and to build on what we've already said in this program, I want to invite back in right now Bill Koenig, as I mentioned, White House correspondent, Israel expert, founder and CEO of World Watch Daily, which you can find on his website at watch.org. So, Bill, let me get back right into this with you. Let's talk now a little bit about the upcoming 70th anniversary. You mentioned it briefly in the last segment, but this is the 70th anniversary of the current state of Israel, which was birthed in 1948. How significant is this particular anniversary to Israel? And does that, and if I throw this in there as well, 70th to me is a big number. In the Bible, one of the generations that's laid out is the 70 years. 70 years. Put that together. Does that add any significance to this 70th year anniversary?
Oh, I definitely believe so. And many of us watchmen are watching that very, very closely. And also the fact, Sam, we're in the 50th year of Israel's reunification of the city of Jerusalem that took place during the Six-Day War in 1967. So, you know, we're in the 50th anniversary of the Jerusalem reunification, I mean, where Israel now completely controls the city, and the fact that we're just a couple months away from the 70th anniversary, which is going to be a celebration of where they came from as a nation in those early wars and what has happened in the state of Israel in terms of its culture, in terms of its advancements in science and medicine and agriculture. This will be a big part. The fact it's become a startup nation with many companies that have been successful that are coming out of Israel that are impacting the world, billions of people throughout the world. So they're going to focus on that quite a bit. There'll be parade of lights, you know, throughout the country. And this will all lead up to the final. It'll be 4 p.m. on Friday, which will be the 21st, will be the closing ceremony, which will honor dignitaries, the living and dead, that have helped make Israel the nation that it has.
Bill, that is so interesting. And I think for myself and many of our listeners who have never been in Israel or don't have nearly the grasp of what's going on in the Jewish culture, these things are kind of fascinating. From an American view, you being an American, but you knowing so much about Israel, what might you be able to share with us, with our listeners, about what these events might look like and maybe what it would be comparable to in our own history? Of course, our history is so much shorter than the nation of Israel, but just kind of the excitement that might be going through the people in Israel at this time.
Well, they're excited about the country. They really are. When you drive around the country, you look at the sophistication of the country. You look at the, you know, almost every major tech company in the United States has, you know, an operation there, the brain trust there. The fact that Israel now no longer has a water problem because they desalinated the ocean water and a good portion of their drinking water now comes from the sea. The agriculture, the drip system, you know, the computer technology, the technology in cell phones, the flash drive, you know, it's extraordinary. They're developing this high-speed train that'll be up and operating very soon between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. You know, you look at the agriculture, the solar farms, or, you know, the solar panels, and these big farms in the Negev. You look at the land of milk and honey. There's so much to be proud of. And this has all happened as they have been under threat from the day after they became a nation in the War of Independence, to the Six-Day War, to the Yom Kippur War, to the war with Hezbollah, to all these intense things that are being said by Iranian leadership right now, or the 150,000 rockets that are pointed at Israel now that is in the possession of Hezbollah that was put in place under the eyes of the UN over the last since the 2006 war. despite all these threats of their existence, of their future, they have been very successful, Isaac, and it's a remarkable country, and you will feel safe when God sends you to Israel. You will feel as safe there as you do in your home in America. It's remarkable. And also, the 70th anniversary, biblical, from a prophetic perspective, I mean, this, we are eventually possibly moving toward that Daniel 9:27 covenant between Israel and the possibility of an Israel-Arab agreement. And we're moving in that direction. So we're living in exciting times, but also times, you know, that Israel is very, very concerned about the threat of Iran and Syria and Hezbollah right now, as well as ISIS and Hamas, but they also have the threat. So with all that said, Isaac and Sam, we're living in an amazing time. Just pull up the, like Sam said earlier, pull out the news and open your Bible, and we're living those days.
Bill, and that's what's so exciting about this, and that's why we like to go back and visit the Middle East often, because it's right off the pages of Scripture. We need to do that. And
God's
our pastors would, absolutely. I wish our pastors would be preaching more about it. I've just never been and seen more exciting things. But you were laying out here about the excitement part of the side of the equation from Israel. It's very, very significant to them for all the reasons you said. The nations around Israel, though, the Islamic nations in particular, but the Arab nations and others as well, for them, they are really keen on dates. And we know that they're very symbolic in their meaning. Do they share, from the opposite perspective, any significance about these days coming up in Israel? I mean, in other words, are they looking and saying, we don't want these days to happen? Fill us in on some of the enemies and what they think about these days coming up.
Well, that's a good question, Sam. And I think the one that the number one concern would obviously be Iran. Do they want to disrupt the 70th anniversary there in that period of infamy with the history? And I think that obviously Israel's very concerned about that. They don't want anything to happen. There's a probability that something might happen before that date with Israel and Iran. I mean, it's very intense right now. I follow this day in, day out. And the level of intensity from Iran, and to put things in a great perspective, 85% of the Iranians are very peaceful, decent, loving people, and they previously had a really good relationship with the Jewish people, the Persians and the Jews, the time of Shah of Iran. I have friends that are Persians in D.C. that admire Israel, that have Jewish friends. It's the 15% that control Iran that are the radicals, the extremists, and I would imagine they would love to disrupt Israel's 70th anniversary. The other thing, the Iranians, the Persians, and the Chinese have survived the centuries. I mean, they're that smart of people. So they're strategic, they're three-dimensional thinkers, and they're patient. And that's another component that we're looking at, and I think that Israel is going to have to make that decision. And no one has intelligence like Israel, and also the United States is helping a lot. We've had some military maneuvers recently in Israel, be able to withstand the possibility of a missile or rocket attack, especially rocket attack from Hezbollah. So it's going to be a very interesting period of time for the next 2 months for sure, Sam.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening Stand in the Gap today. And our theme here is looking back, actually, to years past on this April 19 to 21 time frame. We've looked past. We've looked at the current significance. And now when we come back, we're going to talk about prophetical fulfillment future, because again, all these things that we've talked about, they're in the news, but they're also off the pages of Scripture. We're going to come back and say, is there a biblical prophecy about to be fulfilled?
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
In this special program today, we've looked at days of infamy past, we've looked at days of significance present, and now I'd like to look at days of prophecy fulfillment future. We've looked at the date of April 19th, 2 months from today, and how in a three-day window of time, April 19 to 21st, the worst enemies of Israel, Rome, Muhammad, Hitler, were all born, how key events regarding Israel occurred in this window, and how the 70th anniversary of the birthday of the regathered Israel will be celebrated in these days, just 2 months from now. By themselves, these events in this alignment do not predict future events, but the Word of God does. In fitting past events into known future events, like the 70th anniversary, and overlaid that into predicted future prophetical events, make sense and really is what makes it come alive. Connecting these dots is what we can and we should do. So to connect some of these dots in this solution segment or our summary and application segment, as we sometimes call it, I want to invite back in now to the program Bill Koenig. Bill, let me start here as we go into this last segment. You're an evangelist. In addition to all the other things I've said about you, you know the Middle East. You're a student of biblical prophecy, and that's where I want to go in this segment here. Just in general sense, do you think that there's ever been a time in history where people have witnessed a greater magnitude or larger number of biblical prophecies coming into fulfillment at one time as today, or maybe perhaps other than the first coming at the birth of Christ?
No, absolutely not. It is amazing, Sam, and things are aligning. And I love what W.A. Criswell, Pastor Criswell, First Baptist Dallas, used to say. If you want to know where things are standing biblically and prophetically, watch what they're attempting to do with the city of Jerusalem, God's time clock. And no doubt about it. I mean, look what happened when Trump made the decision to acknowledge that Israel's capital was Israel and the United States was moving their embassy from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. The other thing, look at the reaction from Turkey and Russia and Iran and all the nations there at the UN that voted against the Trump plan. The other thing, Sam, when you watch what's taking place in Syria right now, we have a convergence of the United States, Iran, Russia, Turkey, Syria, all at a very tense moment in that country. It's remarkable. And then you look at Isaiah 17:1, which talks about the day that Damascus will no longer exist as a city. And a lot of the bombings from Israel has been at Iranian facilities around the city of Damascus. The other thing is the Ezekiel 38 and 39 lineup. Those are the key nations: Russia, Iran, Turkey, Sudan, Libya, former Soviet Union countries in the Caucasian Mountains, which are Muslims. And then just the significance of Israel becoming having their 70th anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem, and a very good chance that Trump is going to work out an agreement, some kind of agreement between Israel and the Sunni Arab countries that are petrified of a nuclear Iran and the nation of Iran, and understand that it's important now to normalize relationships with Israel, the United States, because we need them on their side. And so that agreement by itself could possibly become or lead up to that Daniel 9:27 covenant, which is our final seven-year covenant that speaks to the time when Yeshua, Jesus Christ, will return to Jerusalem for his thousand-year millennial reign.
Bill, thank you. That's important information that you were giving us. I was just telling Sam a little bit ago, I always get so excited when I'm invited to be on here, when you're on here, because you add context. I love to listen to the program when you give the context from the Old and New Testament passages and show us the modern names and what's happening. And there's a passage I was just reading, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, and it caught my attention. There's a name of a nation that's also the name of a person's name, and it's Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 35 to the end of the chapter there, verse 39. And I believe it's an often overlooked prophetical passage. It speaks of this of a region in the Middle East, and the name of the country is Elam. It may be very significant, especially at the end of that passage. Could you share with us the significance of this passage of Scripture and why it's important with what you've been talking about with our listening audience today?
Absolutely. That is one of the, as you said, one of the prophecy scriptures that has really been overlooked. I've been watching that very closely for about the last 6-7 years because of all the things that Iran is doing. It speaks of Elam, which is the Persians, which is modern-day Iran. And when you look at that, that area there, I mean, this modern-day Elam, Persia, is going to have a devastating attack against them. And it spells it out. And I looked when I first started following this. I looked at Dr. John Wolford's prophecy handbook. You know, the great Dallas Seminary prophecy scholar, and he said that scripture had never been fulfilled before. Realistically, never been fulfilled before. And you know, I know the Lord is doing things in Iran right now. We have many Iranians that have come to Jesus, have become Christians, and I think when you look at that context, there will be a conflict, there will be a war, there will be devastation, but there's also going to be good news in those scriptures too, and I believe that that's speaking of them coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and possibly this will happen before the Gog-Magog war, where they will be a weakened country when that Gog-Magog coalition comes against Israel to fulfill that that scripture. So, no, I think that's extremely important. Obviously, right now, Isaac, the number one threat to the Middle East is Iran and their plans. And also, we have to remember that they are developing short-range missiles that put all those oil-producing countries at risk, Sunni oil-producing countries at risk. And 25% of our daily oil goes through that Persian Gulf. Iran could shut down the world economies if they started taking down some of those oil producers. So this is a very significant time. That's a very significant scripture, and we're at a very significant time because of the alignment of the key nations that are spoken of in the scriptures.
And let me just read that verse. In verse 37, it says, "For I will cause Elam, Iran, to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. And I, God said, will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them." Bill and Isaac, Isaac, you preach, and I do, and Bill, you are all over the country. What does that tell you, as we're in our last moments here, about the nature and the character of God and how we should relate, understanding how he is working his will throughout history? Bill, you
without
first.
Without a doubt, that's a great point. I'll add this, Isaac. I think what's key here is the fact that the Persians have been used by God in a very, very significant way at different times in history. You know, when we look at the book of Esther, we look at King Cyrus in Isaiah 45, which is interesting when you look at our president, our 45th president, Donald Trump, who has taken on Iran as a number one threat to Israel in the Middle East, is Iran. All the people he's put in place, Mike Pence, Pompeo at CIA, Mattis, McMaster, other generals in the region, they understand the number one threat's Iran, and President Trump has taken that on. Where No other president's done that. So that's another part of this fulfillment.
It is indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time for today, but I encourage you, go to the Word of God, read it. You'll never exhaust it, and all your answers are there. I want to thank Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily for being with me today. Bill, God bless you. Thanks for doing what you're doing. And Isaac, thanks for being here. All of you listening, we commend you to the Lord. Put truth first. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, trust Him today. And if you do, stand confidently for the truth. And until we meet again tomorrow, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.